One Bro Speedrunners, Noobs and Leads, welcome once again to the Gamer Podcast! Ladies and gents, we are back once again like three independent renegade masters.
One of us has got to be the master, then the other, we can be the renegade apprentices or something.
Can I be the renegade mistress?
You absolutely mistress. Can.
Thank you very much.
Very nice. With me today, Mr. Andy Roberts.
Hello.
Mr. Matthew Horatio Angel.
All right.
Well, 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 fellas. It's been a few weeks, and it's been a few weeks because we've mainly been playing one game, one of the computer games.
Yeah.
A big one.
Yeah, although in it, it's got its own lots of little mini games.
It does. Such as?
Poker. Dominoes. I've been learning how to play dominoes.
I don't know what dominoes is. I don't care about dominoes.
There are different ways to play dominoes.
Okay, well, we'll get into that.
It's one of them where you stack them up and then push them over and they make a pretty picture.
Oh, yeah, Domino Rally.
Yeah, that is my favourite.
Yeah, I like that.
We're talking, of course, about Red Dead Redemption
2.
DOS.
So that has taken up pretty much all of my spare time and indeed some of my not spare time as well. It is. I mean, let's just get this out there.
Yeah.
Fucking brilliant.
Yes. Yeah, it's very, very good. So this came out 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that, isn't it?
Yeah. It feels like it's been out forever because it's all I've been playing. And it does what it says on the tin, doesn't it? It does all the things to be expected of it, and it looks exactly like all the trailers, which I thought was a nice bonus.
Joe, it's really funny because, I mean, it looks utterly beautiful. Mm. And there are moments, and they don't overplay these moments, but when they've got a bit of, I don't know, a bit of morning mist or a little bit of evening sun or something like that, or a bit of, like, fog around the marshes or whatever... Honestly, it's sometimes just breathtakingly beautiful to look at. Yeah. Just breathtakingly beautiful.
You just
to
stop
look
on
at.
Your horse, don't you? And you just like stare out over the.
Over
the wilderness.
I keep taking like screen grabs or photographs. So I've got to capture this in case. But it happens, you know, often enough that you don't even need to worry about that. It's amazing.
I've also found that all the pictures never look as good as the actual as it feels in the game. Like the pictures never seem to capture it.
When you're taking the photos,
yeah.
I think that's sort of deliberate, though, isn't it? Because obviously the cameras are meant to be an old-fashioned, slightly crappy old camera.
Fair enough, yeah. So let us start from the beginning before we get into too much stuff. But before we get started, we've all played to just the very start of Chapter 4.
Correct.
So there will indeed be spoilers up to and including probably the first mission of Chapter 4.
Yeah.
So... if you don't want to hear those spoilers, tune out now. If you don't care, listen on. Or if you've already played, listen on.
Yeah, we'll probably steer clear of spoilers around some of the incidental stuff, like the kind of encounters, just on the basis that they can crop up at any point. But we'll talk about. I mean, we can talk about them a little bit because there's just a bit of fun there. But
I've got a particular style of those that I want to talk about.
Nice.
But it's not going to be ruining what people.
Okay.
It counter from them. It's just purely that there are these type of people in there. So
before we get into the story stuff, I wanted to talk a little bit about the game mechanics and the opening hour or so of the game. Because, in part, they're really good bits, and I thought there was some cool stuff. But I did have some criticisms about how the game opens and the way that it trains you to play it.
Yep.
Okay.
So, first of all, it's fucking confusing, like, all of the different things.
Yeah, and, although just we I could add a caveat into this conversation, which you've readily admitted, the dear listener, Si is acknowledged that he doesn't read on-screen prompts.
That's true. Yeah.
So, and that is one of its delivery mechanisms for explaining how to do things.
Yeah.
I was going to make that same point in that Si rarely... like, he's normally the person who goes, oh, how do you do that? And we tell him, and it's like, yeah, that was the first thing it taught you. And you're just like, yep, I don't read that thing.
Because if it's really well done, it feeds it to me in a completely transparent way in which I don't have to feel like I'm doing a training mission. And other games have succeeded in this.
Yeah.
But the thing I think that makes it a bit different for Red Dead is that it's trying to do something quite complicated, like a combination between an RPG and a survival type game.
Yeah.
And it throws these things at you to begin with all the little icons and all of the things that you need to do to maintain those icons. But it tells it to you all in like in a breath.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, you're out there and you're having to deal with it. And I remember, like, after the first hour, I'm mostly thinking about the story and about what's going on because you're being introduced to the world, right, and the characters and everything else. And all of that is wicked, and it pulls you into the world really, really well. And after the first hour, I was like, this is fucking great. But as the game went on, I actually got into fights and stuff, and I realised I'm dying every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
It's because...
You hadn't been eating.
I hadn't been doing any number of the things that I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And even now, having played like many, many tens of hours of it, I still don't really know like my go-to thing to eat or potion to take or stuff to do like that at any given moment. And I'm venison. Flicking through my menus and like...
Always venison, but you have to go to your satchel rather than your horse because the horse won't contain your venison. I have a problem with the control scheme. I need to say now, I hated the first Red Dead Redemption and I love this game.
We know, Matt. That's been made very clear in the past.
The difference in the opening for this compared to the opening of the other one is just phenomenally different. I felt so invested in this one. Mm. But I do have problems with it, the game. I don't think it's perfect, but I don't want anyone to think that just because I'm ragging on quite a few things about it that I don't enjoy the game.
I'm trying
really
to get
do.
All the negative stuff out, yeah. out okay. of the
so
door
just before you move on, Matt, just to bridge on what Si was saying about the intro thing, one of the things that I found really frustrating, I think possibly part of the problem that you found, Si, was that when it was kind of leading you through the whole, I'm going to teach you how to do these things, it was doing that whilst people were talking. So there's people talking on screen that's kind of furthering the beginning of the story, whilst right up in the top left-hand corner of the screen, there's an instruction to explain how to do a particular thing.
Yeah.
I can't, particularly because I turned subtitles off, so it was more immersive. Like, I can't listen to what they're saying and read and digest the complicated instructions that is giving me in corner, top left hand corner.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that side of it was executed pretty badly, yeah. I think. Mm.
I agree, and it wasn't helped by the fact that the control system is not intuitive. Like, in terms of a lot of these games you play, they have a similar layout in terms of where the buttons are. And the reason for that you often will ignore a lot of these tutorial things is because you think you know where the button will be because it's the one that makes sense.
Yeah.
And Rockstar haven't done a lot of that in terms of, I seem to remember having a problem with Grand Theft Auto 5 where they had the shooting button on the wrong thing and stuff like that. And it just, even after, like, you know, I've probably played it for like 30 or 40 hours, I'd say.
Yeah.
And I'm still having problems where I press the wrong button. It's problematic for me because there are alternate control schemes set up, but none of them have the layout that you need or anything that you can do to change it.
I must confess, the only issue I now have with the control mechanism is I still find the running and sprinting or trotting and galloping stuff just a
boring.
Bit laborious and stuff. But I mean, that's to be fair, that's not actually any different to how Rockstar have always done it.
Well, that's what I was about to say.
The only difference is that, you know, with GTA you have a car, so the accelerator is the trigger on that and stuff, and little things like that. But other than that, you know, it's at least consistent with what they've always done. But
yeah, what I was going to say is that it is very Rockstar-y. It's like, this is how we do our games. You guys just need to be on board with that fact.
However, they've un-rockstarred certain parts of it, and I'll talk about that when we're talking about the positives of it. But I also find the controls not that responsive. So there's sometimes that I go to pat a dog, for example, and I walk up
an important function.
Well, no, I'm patting all the dogs and I'm scolding all the cats.
Nice.
That's the way it works.
Good
as in real life. But if you walk up to a dog and it's like you're trying to pat it, it will take him about like 30 seconds to pat the dog, and I'm just like, just get on with it.
I think there are little things about your interaction with the world which isn't as seamless and smooth as it could be. So for example, if you're like in around his kind of little bed area all of the different things on the side.
They're all very close.
They're all very close together, and yeah. and his movement isn't that precise because it's animated in a kind of in a stylized way. Yeah. You can't like move him a fraction of a centimeter. He will suddenly turn and move a whole. So as a result, actually identifying which thing you want to interact with, whether it's a person or whether it's an object on the table or whatever, isn't actually really good. They've partly solved this when you're picking stuff off of the ground. By if there are two things within reach, you press R1 to switch between them.
I didn't know that.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus, Si. How have you played this game?
I discovered that.
I just walk around like this. I just kind of shuffle around until I get the thing that I want.
I discovered it because I was determined to steal other people's hats.
Nice.
And I realised that is what you need to do. So it'll tell you in the bottom right-hand corner where it says what the thing that you can pick up is. It'll give you a prompt to press R1 to see if you can cycle through the different things that you can pick
up. Very nice. Very nice.
What I wish they'd done with that is... because either give you a better camera for seeing that stuff, or what Divinity Original Sin 2 has done is to take that away from the PC interaction. What they do is your character, you can just press a button and it will like just give you a list of everything within your vicinity that you can interact with or pick up or something.
I
wish they'd done something like that for this. Just to, like they can even do the animation of him walking over to it and picking it up, but at least make it easier for the player to interact with that stuff.
There's a few gripes. Any other gripes before we get into the good stuff?
I've got a few.
Matt's got a whole list. Go on, Matt. Get your gripes out.
Well, have you two exhausted your gripes?
Or? No, I've got other things to say, but you crack on.
Okay. One thing, so I've talked a bit to you guys this morning over breakfast that I had a mission, a side mission, that I was really enjoying. The characters in it were phenomenal, really, really good fun. And it bugged. And now I can't finish that. And it's a side mission that's part of a five stage mission. It may well be that the next stage appears for me, but currently it feels like I've lost it and I'm not going to be able to experience that. Now, if it was a dull side mission, which I don't think they actually exist in Red Dead Redemption 2, I would be less annoyed. But the fact is, I feel like it feels like I've just bought a brand new phone and I've discovered there's a small chip in the top left-hand corner. It doesn't affect my interaction with that, but I know it's there. I know I've missed out on that
bit. I find those mission-breaking things to be really annoying. I haven't experienced them in Red Dead, but
and they may
I've
well.
Experienced them in other games. Yeah. It's incredibly annoying.
And they may well patch it. It may well be that I've forgotten about this in about a week, but it made me stop playing it for about a day. Because I felt let down. Well, I haven't played it since that.
Yeah.
So it's playing on my mind a little bit. But it may well appear. It may be fine. But I was disappointed with that.
As disappointing as that, I do share and understand your disappointment. You cannot allow a thing like that to colour your enjoyment.
No,
of
indeed,
what is
indeed.
One of the greatest games that's ever been made.
That is true.
Okay, I'm not going to go as far as you and say it's one of the greatest games ever made, but it is a fantastic game. But we talked a bit about Spider-Man, where we said the problems with it did not affect my enjoyment of it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Red Dead, there have been occasions where the problems, especially with the control scheme, with the sluggish nature of it, and with that, where it's dulled my enjoyment. I'm still massively enjoying it. I still love it as a game. I still think it's a wonderful thing that they've done. But really good games, the problems with it will be overwritten by your experience of it.
So I would say that's exactly my experience, is that there are frustrations that I've had, but that they're things that I've got used to, and you shouldn't ought to have to get used to those things, but I have got used to them sufficiently that they have been utterly blown out of the water from the enjoyment I've had from the rest of the game. And this is not to say it's a perfect game,
but
it doesn't have to be perfect to utterly and completely involve and consume me in every single possible way, which this game is doing.
I agree, but with that, I feel like I've lost a part of what was a fantastic game, and it's like I've missed like the middle like B bit of, I don't know, one of the good scenes out of Aliens, for example, if you skip that and then everyone's talking about it and you're like, well, I don't know, I couldn't get to it.
I reckon you'll get it back. I reckon
I hope so. And if they do, I will obviously rescind all of this, although they shouldn't release a game that you can't do that.
Maybe so, but whenever I think about these type of things, I just think, if I play any Bethesda game, it's like 25% of it is fucking broken.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm sort of willing to allow. I mean, I'd spent hours on like Skyrim where I hadn't been able to make a save I wanted, and I'm like trapped in the side of a mountain with my guy just like spinning around, and I have to try and wheedle my way out to a point where the game lets me stop and save so I can survive again. Yeah. And so having done that kind of shit, this is not much in comparison.
No, but having looked online, there's other people who are struggling with that same mission, but for different reasons, and I'm just like, come on, there's clearly a problem there.
It's a game that's so huge, and they already spent an extra year basically doing PV on that game, so you can just see how huge it is.
Yeah.
If they're still missing stuff after a year of extra PV.
I mean, there is so much content there that I shouldn't be critical, but it's annoying that it wasn't just like, you know, if it was someone like just asking for my assistance as a one-off, I wouldn't have bothered, but this is a side quest that's part of a deeper thing, and like I said, these characters involved in it are fantastic, so it annoyed me a little bit. It is what it is. The other issue I have is to do with their approach to it is that you can do whatever you want. You can be good, you can be bad, you can do all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Within reason, because obviously the storyline expects you to do certain things.
Sure.
But outside of that, there are times where I feel they've forced the narrative a little bit.
Yeah. Well, they're bound to, I guess. I mean, it has to go down a certain road.
Not the way you think it is. In terms of, this isn't me saying I wish they're like, you know, they were a bit more progressive, or I wish they were a little. This is to do with the fact that I talked about the sluggish control scheme, and Andy talked about the fact that they animate the character to be more realistic and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But if you brush against someone and suddenly they're outraged, they're pulling their gun on you. And you're just like, all right, I'll defuse this. And all he says is, all right, calm down. And they still carry on shooting you.
There is a lot of that. The people of the what is the world? I don't know what the world is. What county is?
Well, no, there's lots of different states, isn't it?
That's true.
It's just America.
Let's say America. Yeah. The people of Red Dead 2
America. They do not like
America,
being brushed past.
They are very touchy.
Yeah.
You know, they're on edge.
The defuse button does fucking nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, people are not bothered
but
by that.
Annoys me is like I'm sat there and I brush past this person. I didn't mean to, but it's because of the animation of the character. So I'm sat there going, right, okay, I've brushed past him, I'll try and defuse it. He pulls his gun on me and I punch him in the face. Like, I don't kill him, I just think he's gonna shoot me, so I'll punch him in the face. Suddenly all the law are on me and I've got like a $30 bounty, and I'm just like, that if I'd meant to do that, that's funny. But this has happened so many times to me in the game that
I have to be very careful if I'm in Saint-Denis now.
Yeah.
I have to be very, very careful.
I had once when I was riding away from Saint-Denis, and I was just galloping away. I think I might even have been involved in a side mission. And this guy just out of nowhere on his horse just veered in my direction. We twatted into each other. And then like he had a go at me. And then all of a sudden we ended up in this mass shootout.
Yeah.
The only thing I will say to that, and I have found it frustrating, but that is... And I'm fairly sure they actually do that on purpose a little bit. Because that it was also the same in Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah,
in every single Grand Theft Auto game you ever play, you can be innocently driving, actually driving quite sensibly, on your way to do something, and then an NPC will do something silly or daft. You accidentally run them over or something like that, and then before you know it, you've got like 4 stars flashing. You've got fucking police helicopters chasing you and all of that kind of stuff. That's just kind of their. I think that's them kind of teasing the gameplay, because that kind of stuff doesn't actually have a meaningful impact on the delivery of the story.
It doesn't, but often this is happening in places that are so far away from a post office that I can't pay my bounty off. So I then have to go on a like...
That's only your personal desperate need to pay off your bounty the first possible chance you can.
I think that the game actually wants you to have a bounty most of the time.
But that's what frustrates me. They sell it like it's like, oh, you can be as good or as bad as you want. No, you can't.
I don't think they ever actually did sell it that way in this. I just think it's a game mechanic. I don't think...
Well, why have the morality system if
because there are benefits to to playing it either way. So you get like you get shop discounts if you're good. If you're bad, people are afraid of you. So actually, people kind of back down from doing bad things to you and that kind of stuff.
I think these guys have kind of gone away, like Bethesda and Rockstar and CD Projekt. I think they've gone away from trying to market stuff as like you can do anything. Because you can't, obviously. Yeah. Like, there's no game where you can really do absolutely anything.
No, indeed.
And I think it does try and push you because it wants the game to be played in a certain way. And it wants you to be hunted. It wants you to have a bounty on you because it makes the travelling around so much more interactive when you do have a bounty.
Well, and also it fits the narrative as well.
Yeah, because, you're an outlaw at the end of the day.
Because my guy keeps telling me I can't possibly go back to Valentine because of all the shit stuff I've done. And I was like, I was just there an hour ago. Like, I was having a nice chat with the guy in the shop.
Yeah. Basically, I've shot all the people in that town, but the sheriff... It's fine with me. Yeah, I haven't because I've paid off my bounty.
but to be fair, in some of the story stuff, they do actually acknowledge that, and they that's just a byproduct of an open world game.
Absolutely,
like that,
Most of the places I have been to now. So every time there's a mission, like he even mentions, he's like, "Yeah, I think I've been here before."
And actually, because when I did go back to Valentine briefly at one point, people would talk like so. NPCs would be saying stuff to me as I walked past. I went for a drink. That's right. And a guy came up to me when he stood at the bar because that often happens. And he came up to me and started saying, "Oh yeah, last time you were here, you had that big fight with that guy. I mean, he chucked you through the window and everything. But I thought you took it like a man." And like, he was just like talking at me and just back referencing stuff that had happened. And all of that just adds to the flavor of the whole thing, doesn't it?
I think that is one of the things that they have done better than I've ever seen before is the impact that you have on the world is material.
Yeah.
So that as you move through the story, stuff that you do, even things that you don't think had any effect, they do.
Yeah.
And when you go back, for example, there was a mission early on where you get into a fight in a barn, the barn gets set fire to.
Yeah.
You later find yourself back at that place if you just wander there or through another story, I think. And the barn is all obviously burnt up.
Yeah.
And the family that were living in that house have now had to like move out, and then you're in discussion with them. And while you're talking then, you're looking over your shoulder going, "We fucking burned that barn down." that was my bad. And there's all kinds of other little things. Like there was some side quest earlier on where I had to I killed some fella.
Bad side.
I killed some fella, and then I went back to the same house later and the wife was in the back garden of the house next to a grave.
Oh no.
Putting flowers on the grave from where I'd fucking killed her husband.
Jesus.
I am
brutal.
That is brutal.
But so, it's those little things like, oh, so good.
I went into I found a house in the middle of nowhere, and
did it have a couple there?
There were two people. It wasn't a couple.
Okay.
But I walked into the house, snuck into the house, and they were having an argument. And then I thought, I'm going to get involved in this. But they discovered me suddenly. And suddenly I shot one of them. And do you know what? They were innocent people.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they were absolutely terrified of this guy, obviously, who was in their house and then like shot one of them. And like, and the trouble is obviously I didn't want to be left with a bounty, and I didn't want to leave a witness. So I executed one of them, and I went away from it. Honestly, I looted all their stuff, and then I went away from it, and I suddenly had like this legitimate major like personal remorse going on. I'm thinking like, fucking hell, those poor people. What have I just done?
Those poor bastards.
I know, and I'm too afraid to go back to that house to see what's happened.
I must admit, I've tended to keep away from the torturing people that has been like
the torturing.
But I have had a lot of fun with one group of people, and I don't know if you've run into any of the clan yet.
Oh yeah, as soon as I saw the clan for the first time, I was like, right, my mission is now to kill.
I've only had
two interactions with them.
I'm probably going to spoil this, but I don't care. There is one where there are two of them and they're carrying crosses and they're trying to put them in the ground.
Yeah.
And there is nothing funnier than seeing two clan members get crushed by iron crosses. and they've made the clan ridiculously stupid. Yeah. Like, all of them are really stupid. They've all got, like, notes from their parents in their pockets and stuff like that. It's just brilliant. But, yeah, really the first time I saw them, I was like, they had a big gathering and stuff. They were burning crosses. Yeah. I just lobbed a firebomb into the middle of it, and I loved it.
Oh, well, so that, my, I don't know if you've seen that one where they're actually having a gathering. Because actually, if you don't do that, because if you just sit there and watch, they actually accidentally set fire to themselves.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, they set fire to themselves by the end of it.
I love it. They're like the Chuckle Brothers, racist Chuckle Brothers.
It's brilliant. That's
so funny. And then you get to kudos for executing them as well.
Oh, so, nice. Yeah. I've really enjoyed that. I hope they appear more because
I'm sure they will.
Whilst obviously, like, it was like terrible things that they did, I like the fact that they've made them ridiculously stupid.
And that you know, you're always like having a go at them.
Yeah.
I've forgotten what your character's name is.
Arthur Morgan.
Because in my head he's me. But yeah, but Arthur actually does say, like, you know, he is fucking idiots or whatever. Yeah. He like properly like has a pop at them. So. Yeah.
That's what I really like about Arthur is he's got no prejudices. Like, his prejudices are against, like, you know, people who are prejudicial. And that's built into the game, and I love that.
He just doesn't have time for much.
No.
Apart from...
He hates most people.
Yeah, apart from killing and causing trouble. I love the fact that... that we're fine with the mass murder, but the racism. Come on, guys.
I think that's absolutely fine. That's fair. I'm all right with that.
That's fair. There was a stand-up comedian that did a joke about that. He was like, there was one of the really bad, like, late Freddy Krueger movies.
Right.
Oh, it was Kumail Nanjiani, right? He was doing this stand-up thing, and they're watching it in the cinema, and Freddy is there, and there's two girls, a white girl and a black girl, and Freddy goes, dark meat, right? And then proceeds to kill the black girl.
Fucking hell.
And then the people in the cinema are like, oh my God, that is disgraceful. And then Kumail's like, I love the level of respect to this cinema that they are like totally cool with Freddy murdering 5-year-old children with his needle gloves. But casual racism, no Freddy Krueger. Get out.
I guess one of that is because one of those things is
fantasy.
Is fantasy and ludicrous and the other thing is something that people do every day, day in, day out,
You mean the needle killing?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
But there is no Freddy Kruegering in this game, but there is plenty of murdering and killing.
Yes.
Yeah. And one of the things that I found as I'm going around the place is I do love hunting down whoever the baddie is in the region. So if you're in the Lemoyne area, I will look for those like pillars of smoke.
Yeah.
And I will hunt those motherfuckers down. And there's nothing more satisfying than you just come up on a little camp and they're just sitting there, all happy. And you just like roll up on your horse. And then I'll always just pull my gun out and be like, yeah, here we go. This is going to happen now.
See, I've started
into action.
Taking a different approach to those. Because some of the people you walk up to, all they are is just one person in a camp. And they'll just sit there and they'll go, get off, this is my camp. Sometimes they'll invite you to sit down and stuff. That's often they're psychopaths or like child murderers or something like that. But every time they tell me to get lost, I then wander up to the hill, get my sniper rifle out and just shoot them in the head. Because quite frankly, if you're not willing to share your camp, you're a wrong'un.
That is a cruel and mischievous way.
It's not cruel. I didn't torture him. I didn't throw him on the fire or anything. I just like taught him some respect.
So talking about the side missions, one of my favourites so far was with the circus guy.
It was good.
Yeah.
I was very, very good going and finding the various circus animals. Mm. That was fucking brilliant.
It was.
I remember at one point when we were, because we occasionally play and we were on the chat.
Yeah.
And we're doing our best not to drop spoilers in. And then I remember at one point, Matt, you said, like, hang on a minute, I'm chasing a zebra.
No, that was Si.
Was it? Yeah.
Because I played that about a day after we talked.
Yeah, me too.
And Si was talking about zebras. And I said to him, are you sure it's not just a horse that's got stripes on it?
Yeah.
Like, not having played that.
Yeah.
And then without spoiling it, but I'm clearly going to spoil it.
Well, no, that's within the first three chapters.
It's
so
clearly a horse that he's painted stripes on. But I was very confused when you were talking about it, because me and you were going, well, well, that's not realistic. What if there's a zebra there?
I had one of my only like major like panic moments when that lion pops out of the stable, and I was like, "Have I got dead eye? Shit!"
I must admit, I saw that coming about half like when they were outside the door holding it.
Yeah, you knew it was going to be a lion.
But I died three times trying to do that. It was only once I realised shotgun to the face was the only thing that was going to save that.
Dead eye, shotgun to the face. Sorted.
I have become an absolute fucking master at Deadeye as well, because at one point I was kind of only trying to deploy it kind of like sparingly. Mm-hmm. Actually, now what I do is I just use it to its greatest possible extent right at the start of the fight.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so if
how are you refilling it then after that?
Chewing tobacco.
Yeah.
Chewing tobacco
okay, and then maybe have a swig of like whiskey or port or something like that, and then you get your...
I do love that. Like, I'm halfway through a mission, I'm in a bigger fist fight, and I'm just like, right, just have a quick smoke. It's so good. Just like, and I like the fact that the smoking doesn't take that long, so they intentionally make you do that. Whereas everything else, like if you want to eat something, it's just like, 4 hours later, he's still tucking into his dinner. But
yeah, it's so that's kind of what I did. But like, so if people jump out on me now, because obviously you often just get kind of accosted, whether it be by the O'Driscolls or be by like the Le Moyne Raiders or whoever, just jump out on you. Once upon a time, if that had happened to me, I'd lose my shit, I'd panic, and I'd probably end up dead or whatever. Whereas actually now, I quite like it when those guys come in, because it's a bit of practice, and I'm good at now just executing all those motherfuckers and then nicking all their stuff.
That is very satisfying. So we talked a little bit about, we had some talks about the mechanics and some of the things we didn't like. We talked about side missions. Let's talk a little bit about hunting, because after the first like 10 hours of the game, say, I got very, very addicted to hunting. Yeah. And I must have spent the next like 10, 15 hours just hunting animals. It's very satisfying.
It is. I mean, I'll be honest, I think I have exhausted the enjoyment I'll get out of the hunting part of it to the point that I can't be bothered to go in and try and do all of the legendary animals. To be fair, I might do that later on, or maybe...
I've got all of the ones that I can currently legitimately get to.
Okay, yeah. No, I stopped quite early.
I haven't got the fish. I fucking can't fish
for
you're
having a problem with fishing, aren't
I'm
you?
I'm useless. But I did only just buy those new lures, so for people that are like me and you don't need pay those. Attention, you can go to the fishing shop, which is in Le Grasse, and get special lures, and apparently that fixes it.
It does, because they're the only lures you can use to get legendary fish.
Yeah, because I'm in like the legendary fish areas fishing, and nothing's
I
coming
believe
out.
From my experience that only the legendary fish will go for those lures as well. Yes. So effectively, if you get a bite, that's the legendary.
Have you had the conversation with the fella as well?
I have had a chat with the little fella.
Yeah,
down by the lake.
Yeah, because I think you need to do that to you have to do that to unlock the special lures anyway, don't you?
Yeah, I've got that because they're marked on my map now.
Well, no, but they were marked on my. Got legendary fish marked on my map before I'd met that guy and before I got the special lures.
Yeah, so. I've got the little map that you
yeah,
go
yeah.
to.
Yeah, okay, good, yeah.
But I still haven't caught a single legendary fish. What, apart from that mission, do you get anything? It's not like the Trapper, right, where you can take the stuff and get clothes. The fish don't give you any of that kind of crafting stuff?
They give you stuff,
okay,
but you post them to another man and he sends you stuff back.
Okay. So. Yeah, because I discovered, I was looking around because I wanted a specific trinket. Now, the trinkets are another thing. I actually love the fact that the game doesn't tell you everything, because when you learn about a thing, you're like, now I've uncovered this thing that's really cool. And when I uncovered the trinkets, and the trinkets are one of the few things in the game that actually have a buff, actually have a real buff effect.
Yeah, quite powerful ones as well.
And so when I was looking at that, I was like, right, this is what I'm doing now. This is what I'm doing now. And that's what led me to kill all the legendaries, because they help you get the trinkets. And there's one where you also need some other weird shit. And I was like, how the fuck am I going to get this? Like a lump of quartz or something. And I was like, am I just supposed to find this on somewhere? But no, it's attached to another mission, which I don't know if you guys have seen, but you can find dinosaur bones hidden around the map.
Do you know what? I've started that mission, but I've not found a single
one.
No,
me neither.
I have found two.
Right.
And the first one I already had on me when I started the mission, so she took it away. But then the first one that you put through the post, you'll start to get shit back, and I got the lump of quartz.
Right, okay.
And so I think the more you find, the more stuff you get back, and it all goes towards trinkets.
So what it's doing there is it's rewarding you doing the kind of the extra stuff, the stuff that's kind of a nice to have. It is actually giving you legitimate rewards, and also cross-referencing them and stuff like
it's
that.
It's lovely. Because nice. One thing I always like to do with RPGs, and although it is an RPG basically, like it's, there's RPG elements to it. And one thing I always like to do is overpower my character, right? Early on, so that I can be a badass as I go forward in the missions. And it also means that you kind of do all the side stuff first before doing the main missions. And so once I found out that, I was like, right, this is all I'm doing now, is trying to find these things.
One of the good things about this game as well is that this is less the case for for animals, but in terms of playing against, like shooting and killing humans, is that it doesn't matter what kind of weapon you've got, a headshot is a single shot kill.
That's nice. And I like the fact there's no major difference between the weapon powers. Like there's no there's no ones that's terrible, and there's no ones that are like amazing.
Also, although they can take a couple of hits to the body, they're not bullet sponges. You're not having to fill them with like.
It is cool, and I have noticed as well. Like if you hit a guy in the heart, you'll also get a kill one shot. A lot of times, so it is quite. It's quite smart.
That said, it's generally quite difficult to get a headshot when they're on a horse, so just shoot the horse's legs and they fall over and kill the people.
Oh, Matt, you nasty bastard.
It's far easier to shoot a horse's legs than it is to shoot a
man's head.
The
poor horse didn't do anything wrong.
He rode, like, he was effectively the weapon of war.
Well, if you shot a hat off a fella, I love it.
Yeah, all the time.
It's so satisfying.
I get this with this one guy. It was in a mission or a side mission for whatever. For some reason, I was having real difficulty shooting him. And like every single time I was firing, he just moves ever so slightly. And I shot all the way around his head like four times, getting more and more frustrated. And then I thought, right, I fucking got him this time. And yeah, straight away his hat just straight off the top
pinged
of his head.
Off. Beautiful. I love the kill cam, like the cinematic kill cam. Sometimes, I know it's randomly done, right? Like it's just some algorithm that decides how to do it. But some of them look so amazing.
Yeah.
And you'll just catch it at a perfect angle and it will... And you get that brilliant black and white wide shot. Oh, so good.
What it reminds me of is there was a game called 13 years ago on the PS2, like 13X111. And it was like a first-person shooter, but done in cel-shaded comic book style.
Okay.
And if you got headshot or something like that, like comic book panels of the guy taking the thing.
That's cool.
And it was incredible. It was really
good.
That's a game that needs a reboot.
Nice. So. Yeah, so things like that, fantastic. But the... The hunting stuff in general I think is really good. And when I first started, I was really like, why do I need to get the perfect pelts to do this stuff? But actually, it's quite a nice mechanic.
Well, and also it adds an element of challenge into the whole hunting thing, which otherwise would be far too easy.
Yeah, let's, however, point out the downside of that. So one of the first sort of side missions I got was to like find... perfect pelts of these two animals, rabbit and squirrel, and send them to a lady through the post. You're laughing because you think you know what I'm going to say.
Go on.
So I spent an entire evening on the PlayStation with these guys just hunting a squirrel. I could not find a squirrel. I was swearing about it. Yesterday morning, I decided to do this again.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it wasn't yesterday morning. It was the night before. But anyway, so I found a rabbit. I shot it in the head with the varmint rifle. It was a 3-star rabbit. I got a perfect pelt. I then wandered around for about half an hour trying to find a squirrel. I found a squirrel. I shot it in the head with the varmint rifle. It was a 3-star squirrel. I got a good pelt. Over the next hour, so bearing in mind, I've been playing this for about an hour and a half doing this, my rabbit degraded to the point where I needed another rabbit. At which point I saw tons of squirrels.
Dear.
So I think, right, I'll get a squirrel.
You've let yourself down,
so
man.
I see a squirrel. I see a 3-star squirrel. And I'm like, I go, right, I'll track it. I tracked it for ages and ages. I track it down. I shoot it. It's a perfect chipmunk. I spent 3 hours trying. I still have not done this one. This should have been the simplest one. There's rabbits everywhere. I cannot find a bloody squirrel.
There must
squirrel.
Be something you can do with a chipmunk, surely.
Yeah, yeah. I sold it, but it's not helping me. The woman, I can't disguise it as a squirrel and then send it off to this woman.
Rockstar are good. Laughing at
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, effectively, I think there's an algorithm that says as soon as Matt shoots a rabbit, make all squirrels in the world turn into chipmunks or disappear.
Nice.
But it's started to become funny, but also massively frustrating.
Yeah. Is that a mission that you pick up from a poster that's on a wall?
No, I think I spoke to a woman.
Okay.
Something. I tell you, while we're talking about some of these weird stories, I tell you the story about my horse shenanigans.
That's fucking brilliant.
So I had a rather nice horse that I picked up with my pre-ordered DLC. So I was riding this fella around. I've forgotten what I called that guy now.
Mr. Cheese.
Mr. Cheese, well Mr. remembered, Cheese. Yeah. So I was riding around on Mr. Cheese, having a grand old time. And then I realised, as I was getting further into the game and working out all the different mechanics and everything, that there are really good horses. Horses that are much faster than Mr. Cheese. And I was going around the map a lot, and I was thinking, I'd quite like to be doing this a bit faster. So I do a little bit of research. I'm just Googling, like, you know, how do you get good horses in Red Dead? So, and it says, you basically have to buy them, right? You have to go to the thing and buy them. But there is one horse that you can find in a specific location that you can wrangle and tame for free, and it's really good. And I was like, all right, here we go. That's this evening sorted. So I jump on Mr. Cheese, and I ride on up towards Lake Isabella in the top northwestern corner. And as I'm riding through there, I stop off because I'd caused some shenanigans. So I stop off at the station, Riggs Station. Yeah. I pull into Riggs Station, I jump off Mr. Cheese, and I go inside to pay the nice man my bounty because I didn't want to get hassled while I'm on this very specific journey. Right?
Very sensible.
So, and as I walk out of the train station and a train comes past and kills Mr. Cheese. The train just like clips him.
You left your horse on the tracks.
He was on the platform like he was waiting for a train. And the train clips Mr. Cheese. Down he goes and he is dead. I mean, dead.
Well, he's been hit by a train.
Well, exactly. And before, I'd had him, he'd gone down once where he'd been like killed in battle or something and I'd been able to do the revive. No revive option. Mr. Cheese is dead. So I go to like, you know, your thing where you can then whistle and you're going to get your next horse, whichever one you happen to have. So I have this like little fella who's some other random horse that I got. So up appears this horse and I sadly carry my saddle from Mr. Cheese over and I put it on my new horse, who I then call Default Horse 3. Yeah. So I jump on Default Horse 3 and I ride him up to Lake Isabella. I'm like, well, none of this matters, right? Because my whole thing is I'm going to get this new horse. So I ride up there and then I realise that this is like a thing, right? Where this horse spawns and you've got to track it and you've got to tame it and off you go. And I go up there and I fail at this several times because it's wild up there, right? Mm. It's snowy and the horse is bright white, so it's quite hard to see against the snow. And there's wolves there. So I get close to the horse, I tame it, the wolves attack me, I get off it. And I do this three or four times. And the next night, and I've been telling you guys some of this story, the next night I was like, right, I'm going to do it again. This is what's going to happen tonight. So then I get on D4 Horse 3, I ride him up there. And I go up and then I find the horse and I fucking tame it. And I'm like, yes, we have tamed this badass horse. So I tame it. I take the saddle off D4 Horse 3. I put it on the new horse. And I'm like, fuck yeah. And I'm just sitting on my horse like, yeah, it's fucking brilliant. So then I'm like, right, I need to get out of here, go back home, save it so that he is like now...
Yeah, take him to the stable.
My horse. Although it does pop up when you put the saddle on, you go, this is now your horse. Okay. And I'm like, fucking great. So I start riding up, and you're up in the hills there, up in the mountains, and I ride it up and up and up and up and up. And then I get to the edge of this cliff, and just because I'm not paying as much attention as I probably should, the horse like slips, starts to go down the slope, and I'm like, oh no. And it goes over the edge, and we basically fall to our death at the bottom of this massive ravine. And then it cuts to the loading screen and I'm like, surely not. And it comes back. And when I come back up, I'm standing back by the lake and I turn around and there's fucking Default Horse 3 just standing there like an absolute idiot. And off we go again. And so I couldn't handle it. So I left, I got on Default Horse 3. I renamed him Sir David Frost. And I took him away and then I didn't come back for that horse for another 3 days. When I did come back, I just did it first time. Yeah. It was no big deal.
Hey, my favourite thing about that is the fact that I've not had a single horse die, and yet you killed two horses in the space of a day, basically. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I'm on my second horse. Like my first one, Shaky Jeremy, fell off a cliff about, it was about 3 hours into the game. And then after that, I've had Miss Canterstone for the whole game. And she might not be the best horse, but she's now my horse. I can't I'm not getting rid of her. I'm not going to try and upgrade any other horses. She's just my horse.
Yeah, I just get, because I've still got the one from the DLC, the freebie, the grey thing.
The war
and,
horse.
Hot Dog, his name is. Very nice. But I get really, really, I feel really guilty if I like accidentally run him into a tree, which I do a lot, by the way.
Yes.
Like, but I just feel really
guilty.
There's
something brilliantly slapstick about the sounds of the animation.
The other day I tried to jump over a rock, caught his front feet, and I went flying miles.
You really do. It's very, although it's annoying, there's something brilliantly satisfying about the way that you stack it.
It's very funny.
It is very funny.
And like, I was doing it like in the middle of like it's a really tense mission, like the final mission in chapter 3. That kind of, because that it's all building up as you're going off to the Braithwaites. It's all building up, and it's kind of really cinematic and dramatic and kind of quite tense and quite kind of
really
like, because you've really got and all of that, and we can talk about that a bit, but all of that's amazing. And like, as I was doing that, I got a bit behind for some reason. I think he just kind of went off to the side one a little bit, because I'd been up, put it on cinematic mode, just bugged a bit, and he'd just gone off track. So I took it off cinematic mode, and I thought I'll just gallop up to catch up with him. Smack, straight into a tree. I go fucking flying. The horse goes flying. And I was like, there's all this beauty
this.
All this wonderful kind of like emotional, stirring kind of gameplay just ruined by the fact I drove a horse into a fucking tree.
Yeah. That cinematic was ruined for me by the fact that I'm wearing a bright purple jacket with bloodstains down it, giant sort of chaps which are made out of lamb's wool,
very nice,
and a top hat.
I've got myself a big stovepipe hat.
I'm a big fan of the hats. I mean, we always tend to do this on any game we play. We do focus quite heavily on hat, on
aesthetics, really, isn't it?
I do love it. So before we finish, then, let us talk a little bit about the story, because of all the things in this game. And there are lots of really, really good things. The story for me has been really, really good. And I love the cast of characters. And I love the variation in the cast of characters. And the fact that you don't like all of them. You dislike some, you like others. And whenever you're paired up on a mission with someone you like, you're like, nice, I get to hang around with this guy for a little bit. And the fact that you have your own world and you carry it with you, right? That's the way the Dutch's gang works. So you bring your team with you, and some people join, some leave. But you build up a real feeling for those guys as being your guys, whether you like them or not.
Yeah.
And then the story of the various areas you're in bring you in with other people, and all these other characters become part of your story. And I really, really like the way that the missions at the missions in the centre, in the middle of each chapter, give you little bits of information that help it build up to the bookends of the chapter, so that when stuff happens towards the end, it's like watching a series, right?
Yeah, you feel invested in that part of the story. Yeah.
And a massive spoiler here, but obviously we said we were going to spoil. So one massive spoiler is when Sean gets shot.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was legit like, fuck! Yeah. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And I was like, so I stopped for a second. I was like, did that just fucking happen?
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that is because they've balanced the amount of time I've spent with him just enough that I actually give a shit about this guy.
That said, I hated Sean. So
did you? Like, well, I quite liked
Sean. I disliked him. There was something arrogant about it. I know they're all arrogant, but like I felt like he had it coming. Like, okay, maybe not as much as Mika has it coming.
Definitely
or whatever,
not.
But
I've seen a lot of Mika memes of people blowing him up.
Amazing. Just tying him to a horse, throwing him in the river.
Yeah.
Just one little moment on the subject of Sean. One of my favourite moments in the game, it's part of what you were saying there, where you're building up the kind of the world, of your core gang, is immediately after the mission where you go back and you actually save Sean and then you retrieve Sean and he comes back and joins the gang. And the first time you go back to the camp after that, the whole camp is having this celebration.
It's
the evening and you go back there and I just then spent the evening. I mean, it's in real time. It was about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But I just spent the time enjoying it. So I was having a few drinks. And there's a bit where they all down by the campfire and they start singing. And you sing along with them.
And this whole thing.
And it had this like ridiculous, like legitimate kind of outdoorsy kind of family atmosphere.
If you wandered out by the horses, you could play the banjo. It was amazing.
I didn't know that. That's brilliant. Well, and like they were getting progressively drunker as the evening went on. and people disappearing off to bed, and I'm going to stay up. Honestly, in terms of bonding with the rest of the group, that whole bit was just fucking so well done.
I'll be honest, that's what's really got me about this game, the characters, because I'm going to rag on one a little bit more. In the first one, the characters were all like caricatures of what you expected around a like sort of Western. It was all like, yeehaw, cowboy. Yeah. And with this one, it's not. It doesn't feel like
they're
that.
They're real people.
They're real people. But also, it doesn't feel that cowboy-y. And I know that sounds ridiculous when it is clearly a cowboy game. You're riding around on horses, you're stagecoaches, trains, all this sort of stuff. Yeah. But it feels more like a sort of Ocean's 11 style thing, or a sort of film noir style thing, because there's femme fatales, there's all this sort of stuff. And to me, that appeals a lot more, the fact that you're part of a gang, the fact that you're doing it. You're not a lone wolf going out there, because that always found a little bit dull.
Well, I think one thing, Rockstar have always, well, over the course of all of the various games they've done, they've been perfecting open world game mechanics, right? That's what they've been doing. Yeah. But in this one, it feels like the work was done in GTA 5. So all the mechanics were already there, and what they've done is they've spent characters their time doing writing. Characters and writing and story. The other thing I just wanted to mention, because we haven't mentioned it yet, the voice acting is probably the best I've ever seen in any video game.
Yeah.
It's fucking incredible.
It really is.
If in looking back at Spider-Man, which I enjoyed, but I didn't think was amazing, but it puts it to shame, the voice acting in this game. It's so real. Like Spider-Man, whenever people are reading their lines, I can imagine them in a studio recording their video game lines. But this one, the people feel real.
Yeah.
And some of the subtlety in the acting is fantastic. And they've done that thing that David Cage always fails to do in his games, where they've realised that the technology is at such a point that they don't need to labour the point. They don't need to expose everything. You don't need scenes of exposition from characters. Sometimes it's just a tiny little wink from Arthur, one little thing that he says, and you're like, oh yeah, he fucking knows. Like, oh, so good.
It's weird, because like the characters are just so good, and that voice acting obviously adds to that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, because I dislike the first game, and I think in this one, John is the weakest character out of the entire group.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, it's just like they've gone, well, yeah, let's just make him a bit dull because he's got his own full game or whatever.
One of the things I also think is that it's more broad than the characters and stuff. It is just in Rockstar have always done this, in that its kind of core characters have always been outsiders of some description, and I love the whole thing that this whole gang have got of, like, basically the world has moved on really quickly and they've basically been left behind, and there is no place for them in the world anymore.
They're still trying to live the old ways,
and they're trying to live their ways. Not that their old ways were kind of particularly good or noble, they were outlaws and stuff. So you know, and I love that kind of ambiguity, if you like, because actually what the rest of the world is trying to do, and some of the bad guys in this game are trying to do, is actually try and establish some kind of civilization. And Rockstar have cleverly used that as a bit of a way to have a bit of a pop at modern day America. But they've done it so subtly without kind of just trying to rub it in your face.
Yeah. It's really
Have you met a scientist who gives you a book yet?
No, I haven't.
This is like just a random little occurrence, a guy who just gives you a book.
Okay.
And
so
it's not like a mission or anything. No. It's just literally a like 2 second thing. So in the book, all it does is it talks about science and the fact that, you know, we need to, like, these modern cars that are coming are going to destroy the planet. No one seems to be willing to listen to scientists or experts and stuff like that. And I was like, I know what you're getting at here. Top work.
But I mean, and that is nice, but like the game's doing that even more, more subtly without even bothering to kind of
the fact that you feel more oppressed in the city, smoggy and it's stuff, whereas you go out of it and it's all open and lovely. So
honestly, it just the tone of all of that is utterly, it's so well managed. Yeah. But I don't know anybody that can do could ever manage that like Rockstar.
But there's also ambiguity over some of the characters. So the way that you feel about some of the characters will be different from them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I don't know if, like, what's all your opinions on Mary, like Arthur's ex-girlfriend who turns up occasionally?
Yeah, I haven't had much to do with her yet, but I get the feeling there's going to be something coming up with her. Okay. There was one mission where we went off fairly recently, and she was desperate to talk to Dutch, and Dutch was like, oh, I haven't got time for this right now. And you ride away, and she's just left in the background, like, wait, and you're like,
No, this is a different Mary. This is the Mary who used to be Arthur's girlfriend.
So the one who lives, who is it living in?
Oh, you have to go and rescue her brother and stuff like that.
Yes. I haven't followed up on that. I don't know if I've got an outstanding mission.
I do not. I can't actually really remember what I felt about that. I mean, I just remember thinking because it kind of it dealt with it, it dispensed with it, and all of his characters, all of the gang were all kind of saying, "I'm glad you're not kind of hanging around with her again because she was bad news and stuff."
I remember it being a brilliantly acted scene when they're standing on that doorstep because it was so awkward. It was really well done.
That's the thing. It's like I think they've put her in as sort of a potential love interest or something like that. You know, your regret or something.
I'm not sure they have. I think that's kind of something to tease in there to try and make. But like, I think something bad's going to happen later.
Well, I'm wondering if you've got the option of it going both ways in terms of because I don't trust her. She only turns up when she wants something.
Yeah.
But then she's always going, oh well, you know, maybe we could get together again, and it's just like no. Yeah. Just
could
do
be something interesting
because he should clearly be with Mrs. Adler.
Well, I mean, but then the thing is, I make a prediction. I don't think he's going to be with anybody. I don't think there's any kind of being him holding hands and walking off into the sunset with a love interest at the end of
this
game.
What about Hosea? I'd be okay with that. Hosea is a man.
So. Is he gonna die, do you think?
I hope not.
Well, he's not in the first. Oh, I thought you said he's Hosea. He's not in the first Red Dead Redemption, is he?
Quite. And we know that, you know, Marston dies at the end of the first one. So
if they do kill him off, how do they do DLC? Do you play as Mrs. Adler at that point? Or?
Well, there's enough characters.
In the first one, you played as the son, right? For the DLC. Right, okay. Yeah,
I didn't play the DLC.
Yeah, it was the Undead Nightmare was pretty cool actually. That was the zombie one. Yeah. But I think online's going to be really cool. Like, given how much fun I've had with it, I think we could potentially as a group have a hell of a lot.
It's supposed to be out later this month.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's November. However, they've already warned. They've said, look, this is going to be online. This is a beta. It is going to be an absolute car crash at the start. Right, don't necessarily judge it on what it is rather than what it can become.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, I'm going to try and do the story before I bother with the online. I don't want that stepping on toes
I'm at the point now where I've played so much of the game that I think I'm about to start pressing on with the story.
I've already been pressing on a little bit.
Nice. Yeah, well, I got bored of kind of the noodling around a little bit. I think I've done as much of the noodling around as I want.
I'm ready to get through now. And I think there's still a lot to play. And given that each chapter has like 15 missions, there's a lot
and
to do.
My one hope for that side story I'm doing is I've heard rumours that when you complete the game, all the side missions that you haven't done become available and stuff like that. So I'm hoping it will reappear at that point or something.
But. Can you not just go into your menu and click replay? Because you can do that on all the missions that you've done.
I can't find a place in the mission where I can do that. You can do it for story missions, but I can't find side missions.
Okay.
If you can find a way for me to do that, I will be very grateful. Unless it doesn't exist for me anymore.
I'm sure you'll get it back.
I better do. Otherwise, it's 0 out of 10 for me. So I'm going on Metacritic, changing my 8 to a 0.
Right then, I think that pretty much does it. And what we can do is we can reconvene in a few weeks when we finish the game.
Yeah.
Nice. Right then, I think that brings us to the end of the show. So I'm going to have to ask you, Andy, to say goodbye to our fine listeners.
Yeah, cheerio, everybody.
And goodbye, Matthew.
Bye.
And it's a goodbye from me, and we'll see you next time on the Indie Gamer Podcast.
Bye.